Did you see him composing any songs?
I did.
What stood out about his methods? Was there a routine that he did, or how did he do that?
Just the genius just comes out of nowhere. He's sitting playing on the piano and singing, and he changes the words. I'll tell you this, because it's one of my favorite stories. For those who don't know, a studio, in a traditional sense, has, I just call it the big room, where the musicians play in a simple, traditional fashion. The musicians and singers set up and give their performance. Then the microphones go under the floor, through the walls, or in my case, under the ground, and I get into what's called the control room, where the equipment is and the engineer is, and it's isolated. The point is it's isolated from that other room so the engineer can really hear what's going on, and he gets the mix that we talked about and records it. We had been out in the room playing one of his songs. We'd recorded. Then in also traditional fashion, historically, oh, I think we got it. Let's listen. You want to listen to that? Okay. We come into the control room and we're listening to this. Bob's over in the corner where you come into the control room, where the door is. Then there's a recording console, and all of us are gathered around in this control room listening to the song we just recorded. Bob's over there writing what's turned out to be some lyrics, but I can see Bob writing. My thought actually is, boy, that's amazing, because if one song's playing, I can't think of another song. And I thought what was amazing was Bob had shut out the song that was playing and was working on a new song.
Yeah.
I thought that is really astounding, which would be for me. But no, when the song finished, he gave a nice thorough critique of what had just played, meaning he'd heard it great. And then we went out in the studio and recorded the song that he was standing there in the corner writing.
Is he the most brilliant musician you've been around?
I think when you reach that level, there's no hierarchy. I have, as an engineer, recorded Leon when he just started playing and singing with no concept of what the song is going to be. He writes the words, writes the music, meaning he's playing and singing a song that has never existed, and it is the voice and piano that's on the record. So it's just... And here we go. Bob and Leon shared that. You know, other people forget the words on stage and just go, na 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 na. Bob would just write some more, and that'd be great too. You know, he'd just make up a whole new thing.
So you put Leon in the same category as
I
Bob
do.
Dylan.
I do, because I think when you reach that level, Cale as well for me. I call it the crack in the cosmos.
Yeah.
You know.
We should say Bob Dylan's archives resting now with the University of Tulsa and Gilcrease Museum. It's nice to have them in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
You betcha. What's up with that? That's the greatest, craziest thing in my adult lifetime.
I was listening to Bob Dylan singing some of the standards.
Yeah.
And how his voice is so different, and he just slows down, sings some Sinatra songs. I enjoyed listening to him do that.
I saw one of those shows and heard the records, and they're really good. And he's adhering to the melody and everything, really being a crooner and singing those songs like they're of great import, which people would say about his own songs. But then his own songs, he takes great liberty with everything, from the words and the melody and the character.
But he stays true to those
standards. But he really sings those standards like, this is the song. He told me one time about his own songs. He didn't play here often, and he'd come through Oklahoma. We'd go to the show, and pretty much every time I'd get the message, Bob wants to talk, which is great. So I'd go back and talk to him for a little bit, and it'd be just one-on-one. You know, it's just like a gift, I'm telling you. When I'm no longer in the band, then I revert kind of to student and fandom, so to speak. But he says something that I've said before that seemed a little out of character for him after we go out as a family and blah, blah, blah. Sincere, but that kind of regular folk stuff. He says, well, we're just out here serving these songs, I think was the quote. And he means his own songs in that context. They are the thing. And what can I do now except try to do them justice? We are serving the songs. I think that really then can apply to his singing those standards. He has put them up and paying proper respect. and wants people to understand how those go. And I think he would, in some odd thing that can't be described, downplay his own deal while recognizing, famously on an interview on 60 Minutes, or one of those guys says, "I don't know how I did that. You try writing those songs." That seems like a little too much aw shucks right there, but there's some truth in that. You know, how did I do that? I don't know. Yeah. You tried doing that.
He said this. Years ago, they said I was a prophet. I used to say, "No, I'm not a prophet." They say, "Yes, you are. You're a prophet." I said, "No, it's not me." They used to say, "You sure are a prophet." They used to convince me I was a prophet. Now I come out and say, "Jesus Christ is the answer." And they say, "Bob Dylan's no prophet." They just can't handle it.
It's pretty great. Yeah. Well, that's Bob Dylan being Bob Dylan, but I think there's real truth in that.
And then John Lennon recorded a song, "Serve Yourself," in response to Dylan's "Gotta Serve Somebody."
He was just being funny. John Lennon, you know, they're all being funny. John Lennon, nothing else. He's a comedian, you know. I refuse to take any negativity about the Beatles or Bob Dylan. I don't believe it. I always tell people, I remember when I was a teenager dating somebody. I can't remember anything about it except her mom was a John Bircher. Boy, a different time. But I'm reading this John Bircher pamphlet that just lays it out in a very convincing fashion that the Beatles are all communists. I know rock and rollers aren't communists, but you see the evidence. It's sort of like Bob Dylan made it, sold his soul to the devil or something, and you see the evidence, and people can see it if they want to see it. But the fact is, those are not facts.
Yeah. A Bob Dylan quote. "Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find, when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul." Bob Dylan.
You find any fault with that?
Not at all.
No.
I wasn't reading it to find fault. I thought it was good.
No, I know you weren't.
Right.
Yeah, it's just great. He's rhyming up a storm and, you know, all of that, songwriter-wise, Bob Dylan-wise, but he totally embraced it, and there are many of those gospel lyrics that are as good as can be.
We won't go into it much more, but let's remember the Nobel Prize Committee announced that he would be awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature. That was October 13th in 2016. And then there's all the stories about when he'd get it and when he accepted it. The point is, he rose to that level.
Yeah.
And he's still with us. It's not we're talking about George Bernard Shaw or anybody like that.
Yeah.
We're talking about a man who's still with us.
Yeah, all the stuff that I've been lucky enough to do and be around, it's all an adventure to Charlene and I. We say the adventure continues, but it's been pretty much hard the whole time and broke almost all the time. But all these things that I've been lucky enough to do, and the tractors too, it all pales looking back in comparison to, gee, I was really in Bob Dylan's band. Shoot. I just think it's just flashing in my mind. Just a few days ago, and I didn't even look at it, but I saw a promotion for something or just randomly came through the YouTube stream. Jerry Garcia, I'm not really a Grateful Dead fan. I am a fan, but it wasn't like I was dedicated. I'm not a deadhead. But I watched it go by, and Jerry Garcia's laughing about how much success they've had and whatever, and he just said, "And I met Bob Dylan." And he just laughs with pure joy because they made a lot of history and they changed lives and they changed the world. But really, when it gets down to it, I knew Bob Dylan. Are you kidding me? I can't even believe it now.
Yeah, and he still likes you.
As far as you know.
I'm sure he does.
I don't know. I think he'd give him a big hug if he happened to wander through. Just but, unfortunately getting so late in life that one of us is going to be gone, at least one of us, before too long. And I'm glad to have had it.